Today on Real Radio.
The church and the world, do they know that you're a believer? If they do, then you are probably being spoken well of and spoken bad of at the same time. That's a good thing, everybody. I want to encourage you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from a section in chapter 6 where Paul describes the hardships that the true believer will most likely face because he stands up for the truth of the gospel. But there are reasons for these difficulties, as we've been learning in this series of lessons called Let Me Encourage You. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul is saying, let me encourage you. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 to 10. And we are remembering that we studied last week and this week again regarding Paul's guilt of being a Christian. Remember that? We floated out to you that old saying from the 70s that if you are arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? And certainly in Paul's case, I hope in my case, in your case, that if we were arrested and brought to trial for being a Christian, that they would have enough evidence to convict us for being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying the Word of God. You know, encouragement is an important thing. In fact, if you look, you've been looking at this now for about a year. Our banner theme is 2 Corinthians, a letter of encouragement. And I want you to remember that as we look at part two of this message, because it may not sound like Paul is encouraging us, but he really is. Noah Webster writes in his 1828 Dictionary of the English Language, he says, encouragement means as being the act of imparting courage. Listen, imparting confidence, to incite to action or to put into practice, to encourage another towards virtue. Listen, towards heroism, bravery, fearlessness, and I like this word. When's the last time you heard this word? Gallantry, which means courage that comes to you in the heat of battle. Gallantry. I don't know about you, but in the heat of battle, in the moment that you are brought to the place of your spiritual moment to shine for God, I pray for you, I pray for me that I would have then this gallantry, that in the moment of the heat of battle, do you ever wonder how you're going to fare if you were ever brought to that place of persecution? Church, listen, Christianity Today and connected with VOM, Voices of the Martyrs, annually report as much as they can the death rate or the martyr rate of Christians around the world annually, and it will hover between 245 to about 300,000 Christians a year die at the hands of their persecutors around the world. That's hard for us in California to imagine, but it may be that the day comes for you and I to die for our faith. It could happen. And the question will arise in your heart, will I have the courage in that moment to stand true for Jesus? Number one, you will, because the grace of God will see to it. Number two, you will be encouraged because that's part of the work of God for you in that moment, is to give a great witness for Christ, even in the face of death. Without taking any honor away from those martyrs, let me say this. They paid the ultimate price for their faith. But I believe that there's a price equally paid. And that is if for you and I in Southern California, in Babylon, live the rest of our lives, maybe without physical persecution, but you live the rest of your lives faithful to the witness of Jesus Christ, all the way through to the end, that you finish well, that you don't mess up in your shining of the light for the gospel of God, that you make it all the way through. I want to float this out to you. That may be more difficult and require more of a commitment than the wonderful grace that comes to us in the moment of our persecution or our martyrdom. Does that make some sense? It's almost maybe possibly a blessing to depart this goofball world than to hang around and see the decay and the decadence that is constantly attacking us. And Paul is speaking about these things of hardship and difficulty. So I want to encourage you. So if we look at it last time together, mark it down in your note taking if you would. We looked at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. He says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry, yes, you have one, Christian, may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers to God. That verses 3 and 4 is the statement of why he stays true in the next description. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, that's beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, and in labors, in sleeplessness, fastings. How does he do this? By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, sincere love, by the word of truth, the Bible, the power of God. And this is where we left off in our study last time. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. What a statement from a man who lived it. And if today you're a Christian, in some way, shape, or form, you and I will live, or we are living out our own definition of these very words in our own life. And we talked about that last time. And we looked at this. Mark it down just by way of remembrance. This is what we learned last time. Point number one was, regarding us being encouraged from the Word and from Paul, was that Christianity is not of this world. Three things we learned about in verses 3 and 4 is that you and I, being Christians, we are encouraged because you and I have been called to a transcendent morality. That the morality that God has called us to, there is no other religion, no other belief system on the face of the earth that has a transcendent morality, meaning that Jesus has said to the believer, and he gives us the power to do this, he says, be holy for I, the Lord, am holy. And Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And Jesus says that we are to go into all the culture and be salt and light. And so there's a transcendent morality that proves that Christianity is not of this world, but is actually heaven sent. Secondly, we saw that it's by observable effect, that wherever true biblical Christianity goes, the culture is changed. The world is changed. And the Bible there's told us in verses 3 and 4, Paul put it this way, that our ministry may not be blamed. Christianity should shine. It doesn't mean people are going to agree with us, but Christianity should shine and be observable, and its effect should be clearly known. And thirdly, we saw last time in this first point that Christianity is not of this world, verse 4, because of its followers' influence. As Christians, we influence the world. That's why the world hates us, Jesus said. The influence of Christians really matters. God sees to it that it makes a great effect. And then, listen, point two, we didn't finish, but we came this far, and that is, let me encourage you, verses 4 through 8 regarding Christianity is not an easy road. Someone say amen. Amen. It's not easy. Real Christianity is not easy, and Paul is encouraging us, and we saw this in verses 4 through 6, that we as Christians, we feel what others do not feel in this world. God has changed our hearts. We have compassion towards people. We care about people. God does a work in our hearts. And we feel what others don't feel. In fact, before you and I became a Christian, we only felt for what concerned us. And then God begins to put his love in our hearts as a Christian. And in that list of profound realities of how difficult it is to be a Christian, the whole thing was this, that you and I feel toward this world and toward others completely different than what we once did. So church, mark it down. Here's where we begin now, where we left off. Verse 7 says that by the armor of righteousness, remember, on the right hand and on the left, Paul is not only talking about spiritual warfare. Watch this, remember. He's talking about us warring in a world that our witness needs to be true at home as it does outside in the world. Remember the right hand regarding this right hand and this left hand of the armor of righteousness. Do you guys remember what we talked about? That the right hand is all public engagements and public commitments. And so we make that agreement with the right hand, but on the left hand was everything that dealt with the home and inside, the private life, the life that we would say is more not legal, but loving, that is gentle. It's in the family. It's personal. It's not the left hand of might or strength, that's the right hand. But the commitment is still true that the armor of righteousness is the same on the left hand of my private life as it is on the right hand of my public life. And Paul says, that is my incredible and wonderful confidence. And so we remember that. So let's pick it up in this verse. Look at verse 8. He says, by honor and by dishonor. What is he talking about? Paul is saying, listen, being popular in the positive among friends, honor. Paul would receive honor when he came to certain areas where the Christians knew him. He would be honored. That's sweet. We should honor those. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, that we should honor, three times it says, that we should honor those who teach the word of God to you. You're supposed to greet me with a kiss, it says. It says that you're supposed to care with a greeting. And it also says there in Hebrews 13 that it says that you should also obey what we say as teachers, because it has nothing to do with authority. It has everything to do with sacrifice. Not your sacrifice. You're to obey what we teach in the Word of God, because I, Bible teachers, will have to stand before God in a separate judgment from all other people in the world. Did you know that? And it says that those who teach the word will be judged more strictly for having taught it. Now, if you go to a church, maybe you're visiting, I hope you don't say that about this church, that, man, the church I go to just abuses its authority, pushes people around, and all this stuff, and the pastor, you know, you kiss his ring when he walks by, you bow, you curtsy when he goes by, or whatever it is. Man, listen, I don't know about that. That's kind of weird. That's not biblical. But just know this, if they're teaching the word of God to you, the Bible says they are watching out for your souls by giving you the word of God. That's important. And there's a sense of honor in that stuff. It's not people worship, it's just respect. You know, you and I live in an age where we've lost respect for everything. It's very sad, huh? We need to get that back. The church should be known by that. But he goes also, he says, and dishonor. What does that mean? Paul said he's very popular among those who hate his guts. If there was an internet back in Paul's day, if Al Gore would have been back then, there would have been an internet, and they would have been writing stuff about Paul. They would have been blogging about Paul, and the world attacked him, and the world is going to attack us. Listen to what a great Bible expositor said, G. Campbell Morgan, by anything and everything he ever wrote. G. Campbell Morgan said this, quote, Paul saw himself engaged in a spiritual yet mortal combat, both in public and in private. And he did not employ ordinary pressure tactics or legislative corrections, though these have their place. He used prayer and faith and love and righteousness as his confidence for effective ministry. Paul's dedicated purity was used to the fulfillment of his calling. That was to preach the gospel. His faith and behavior combined made him an awful weapon in the hand of God. Don't you love this? By which he attacked the issues of sin and death. He did this in honor and dishonor. That is, whether he was popular or unpopular, loved or hated. Truly, Paul was a heavenly statesman and a keen ambassador of Christ's kingdom, says G. Campbell Morgan. That's a good word. The word here also, look, he goes on, by evil report, by good report. What does that mean? The word means simultaneously hearing reports that contradict each other. Are you like that as a Christian? Listen, don't answer. But do people know you're a Christian? That is unbelievers and believers. The church and the world. Do they know that you're a believer? If they do, then you are probably being spoken well of and spoken bad of at the same time. That's a good thing, everybody. I want to encourage you. Cheer up. It's a good thing when there's contradictions. It's a sad day if the world says the same thing about you that the church does. Right? You want your witness to be contradicted by the church and the world regarding their view of you. It's a good thing. So we need to get some tough skin, right? Listen, I'll let you in too much on my life. You should know this. And maybe I'll regret saying this. But I told you, you guys know before, my mom was born and raised in Hawaii. I have family in Hawaii. And because of that, when my mom moved over to the mainland, she never lost her Hawaiian ways. She's pure Portuguese, but she was raised in the Hawaiian culture. She never wore shoes. She never wore shoes. She wouldn't wear shoes. And so because of that, my mom could walk across the hot coals. Not literally, but a summer day, the street, nothing fazed her. She could walk over anything, nothing fazed her. She'd walk across the field. Her feet were like rocks. Well, guess who else, whose else feet is like rocks? I grew up not wearing shoes. That's just the way we loved it. In San Diego like that, and then moving up to Orange County. But what's the downside? Calloused feet. You can't feel anything. And that's okay as long as the calluses are on your feet. But if it's in your heart, that's a bad thing. If it's in your heart, that's not a good thing. And so what we want to be very, very careful about is keeping our, listen, as Christians, you want your skin to be somewhat calloused toward this world, but your heart to be as soft and tender. Jesus said, really, let us be like doves in our hearts, toward this world and toward the cunning craftiness of this world. He said, be like a serpent, cunning. And we need to be careful about that we nurture. When people say, oh man, you Christian, blah, 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 let it be tough skin that resists that, okay? Don't cry about it. Don't throw in the towel and quit. They made fun of me. Rejoice. Why did they make fun of you? Now, wait, why did they make fun of you? There better be a good reason. Okay, it better be a biblical reason. If they're making fun of you or attacking you for biblical reasons, rejoice. If they're attacking you because you're a nutcase, then stop it. Of evil and of good report. Look, he says, as deceivers and yet true. The word deceivers means that the world views us as imposters, frauds, and fakes. They do. The world hates us for that. But yet true, meaning proven to be real and having a real life. Proven real. That's why our internet TV program is called Real Life. Why? Because the Christian life engaged in the culture is going to be proven. You want to sign up? Then the world will put you through the ringer. That's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good thing, church. The next thing is this, verses 4 through 8. Christianity is not an easy road because, listen, we will endure. The Christian will endure what others will not. Why is that case? When he says in much patience, that word meaning enduring, remember this, we will endure what others will not. This is probably the most extensive part of our study today. I'm going to ask you to take notes and write real small. Are you all listening? Okay, here we go. Paul was being bird-dogged, pursued, attacked by the legalist coming out of Judaism trying to discredit the gospel. You with me? So they undermined everything he preached. They criticized and attacked. They were false teachers. Paul mentions that numerous times in the book of Galatians and even in the book of Romans. False teachers. They attacked the cross of Christ. They attacked the nature or the person of Christ and the grace of God. They exalted the law and man's ability to achieve righteousness before God by self-works. That is condemned by God. False teachers. In Paul's day, false teachers like today will not. Church, mark this down. This is worth a lot. False teachers will never endure the list that we just read these last 2 weeks. They won't do it. You want to know why? They will not put up with what you and I put up with because there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit even to the life of the false teacher and the false prophet that what they believe is wrong. The Holy Spirit is constantly telling your friends and my friends who are involved in cults, and I throw atheism in that cult, you're wrong. Holy Spirit's saying, you're wrong. You need Jesus. You need to repent. You need my love. You need my forgiveness. You need my hope. Constantly, he's convicting those that are in error. And the false teacher continues on in their path, not only being deceived, but deceiving others with a tenacity, I might add. But when difficulties and hardships hit them like they hit us, you know what they do? They pack up and they move on to the next gig. They move on to the next show. They don't put up with it. The reason why you and I put up with being attacked, or why Paul put up with his adversities, is because we know the truth. False teachers have this among them. It's a threefold attack against the church. You'll be wise to mark this down. What are the threefold attacks of the enemy against the church, false teachers and false prophets? Number one, infiltration among the rank and file believers. Infiltration. Wherever God is working, and oh, please God, be working here. Listen, wherever God is working, there'll be an attack by Satan with false prophets and false teachers to come in and among the ranks and the file of the believers. So I say, oh dear God, may we be true as a church, may we be holy as a church. And Jesus is saying, right on, just count the cost. In and among you will be false believers and false prophets. That's why with people that you come in contact with in any spiritual setting, you should always have either literally or figuratively the Bible open at all times. When they say, hey, you know what this? Just because they're talking to you inside this building doesn't mean that they're right, or it doesn't mean that they're true. Listen, we know for a fact that there are cults that come on this campus trying to pick off believers as you're making your way to the car or coming into church. We know it. Why are they doing this? Because it is Satan's tactic to infiltrate the rank and file believers. Number two, mark it down, to discredit the doctrines within the church. Oh, the Bible doesn't really mean that. Or let us tell you what the Bible really means. To discredit what the Word of God says. That's the second thing. The third thing is this, to seize the leadership roles of churches. There's a book written years ago, I forget who the author is, but the title I've never forgotten. It's called Predators in the Pulpit. You ought to buy it. If Satan is going to succeed in infiltrating the church, where is he going to wind up being most happy? In the place of authority or power in the church leadership and ultimately the pulpit, because the falsehood will go out. Isn't that fantastic? So we ought to be on guard. And listen, the more you go verse by verse through the Bible, the more this stuff's flushed out. That's a good thing, huh? Listen, for the Christian, life's tribulations have a perfect, I love saying this, and wonderful purpose. Can I say that again? For the Christian, life's tribulations have a perfect and wonderful purpose. God has a great plan. Are you going through something, friend? Are you going through something? God's got a wonderful purpose. Are you not a Christian today? I'll talk to you more about that in a second. Listen, Christian, mark this. Why do we go through such difficult times? If our God is God and he saved us and Jesus loves us, what's the deal? Why doesn't he just throw rose petals along the path that we walk? Well, because listen, our faith is very important to God. It's to develop a greater faith. Why? Because he wants to deploy that faith in the lost world to rescue more souls. Did you know that you're saved? Listen, God loves you. You're saved. You're going to heaven. So why are you here? Because God wants to develop your faith to send you out into hostile territories that one more soul might be saved through your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Me Encourage You. A look at a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's one of the writings of the Apostle Paul that explain some of the hardships that the true believer in Jesus will undoubtedly face. However, there are also encouragements throughout that very same text. Again, Let Me Encourage You is the title, and it's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we are approaching the end of 2015 and ringing in the new year, if you will. And we always seem to talk about New Year's resolutions, right? Well, I can't think of too many New Year's resolutions better than the one we've been telling you about here on Real Radio. It's the One-Year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the One-Year Bible at the outset of every year. And you know what? We'd love to invite you, Real Radio listeners, to join us. It really is a great way to internalize and assimilate God's holy word. You can purchase your very own one-year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.